We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky coming to you from my home in Northfield, Minnesota.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you as always from beautiful South St. Louis, Missouri, where I serve as pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church.
And well, we promised the people, so we might as well get at it right away. There's no putting it off, I suppose. We are again celebrating 100 years of service here at KFEO. And so in honor of that 100-year celebration, we are occasionally taking out time to share 100 seconds of bad jokes.
I can't think of a better way to honor the legacy of KFEO Radio, John.
Well, as Lynn says, we are the two stooges of KFEO Radio. And I've got some better ones. I think that there's some better ones. Whatever. You let me know. Give me a countdown, and I'll start reading them, Matt.
All right, John. So there's some gems in this time. Okay, we'll be listening for those. Okay. All right, I'll give you a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go.
Today I saw an ad that said, radio for sale, $1, volume stuck on full. I thought, I can't turn that down. I found a rock yesterday, which actually measured 1,760 yards in length. Must be something of a milestone. Here we go. I've just been attacked by a herd of hungry cows. I'm okay. I was just gently grazed. Okay. I've always tried to go the extra mile with every job I work. Turns out my Uber customers don't appreciate it.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, I do too. Like I said, these are a little bit better. My spouse asked me if I thought our kids were spoiled. I said, no, I think all kids smell like that. Every parent out there can appreciate that joke. Here's a good one. You got to think about this one. How can you win a fight against the rock? And the answer is paper. Get it?
Yeah. Paper. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
All right. Kids, if there's one thing I've learned in all my years, it's that I'm older than you. But my wife and
was
I had
that
a
punchline.
That was the punchline. Okay. So maybe I should have left that one out. But let's see. Maybe I better flip. I should have done better than to try to flush my wooden shoes down the toilet. Now it's clogged.
Clogged. 10 more seconds, Sean.
Okay. Let's see if I can get a good one here. Someone keeps sending me celery anonymously. I'm being stalked. Those who believe in telekinesis, raise my hand. Get that?
It's my hand.
Telekinesis, that's the ability to move things with your mind. It's up, isn't it? Is it up, Matt?
Look at that. If it needs explanation, John, then you might want to skip that one.
Okay. Well,
no, there were some
good ones.
You're right.
Yeah. That was all bad.
The cow joke. Always up for a good cow joke.
Gently grazed. Okay. Now, those are all going in the circular file, as they say. So we'll never hear from those again.
You know, if the founders of KFUO would have known that 100 years later, we'd be honoring the anniversary of the 100 dumb jokes. I wonder if they would have had second thoughts about establishing a distinctly Lutheran radio station.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I think when the existing operators of the station listen to our show, they have second thoughts about airing the show. But we have worthwhile stuff to, and I hope we have something very worthwhile today. Go ahead, Matt.
I'm just going to say it's not our stuff. That's what makes it worthwhile, John. It's God's stuff.
Yeah.
The jokes, that's our stuff. The Bible study part, no, that's God's stuff. It's well worth it.
And you know, I just realized that's why, so that the contrast is strong, Matt. We want the contrast between our stuff and the stuff of God, that there'd be no confusion. There would be a clear distinction. And I think we've accomplished that. I feel better now.
That's right.
There will be no confusing what you and I did with what God has to say.
I think if it's safe to say.
Yes. Fear not. You got me on this. That was your study we did last week from that beautiful passage in Luke that we'll mention again today. Because I don't know about you, Matt, but I am filled with fear. And I wish I could say it's because I'm an old guy now. And, you know, the older you get, man, there's so many things you have to wrestle with. But I think my whole life I've been one. That's been my biggest problem, lack of faith and worries and fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how about you, Matt?
John.
Okay. Well, I was just going to ask you, seriously. So do you wrestle with that too?
Well, sure. Yeah. Oh, I, you know, I mean, I think the, you know, it's, I think a first commandment issue right at the root,
yeah.
Right? That we're fear, love, trust in God above all things. And yet, you know, we're fearful about all sorts of other things and second guessing ourselves. And, you know, like you said, worries and anxieties about the future and about, you know, just am I doing a good enough job, you know, my vocations and all those things. Yeah, for sure.
So I decided I would like to do this is a topical. We don't usually do topical. We usually do textual. But I wanted to go through the Bible and see how often that word fear not, that phrase is used. And it's all over the place in the scripture. If you would help me out here, man, I'll kind of just do a quick overview of where this shows up. It shows up right away in the first book of the Bible. In fact, it's one of the first things God speaks to Abraham. If you've got your Bible handy there, Matt, if you could read Genesis 15:1.
All right. So it's not just Matt and John that wrestle with this, but we're going back to Genesis 15, and it's already the Lord has to speak that word to Abram. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great.
And if you read through, you'll find he says the same thing, fear not, to Isaac. It is what Joseph says to his brothers. And here's another one. It's what Moses says to the people. If you read Exodus 14:13.
Yeah. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today.
And so it's interesting because that's how Moses begins, right? When the people of Israel are slaves, he begins with that fear not. And it's how he ends as they're getting ready now to enter the promised land. Read Deuteronomy 31:8, if you could, Matt.
Oh, yeah. They're the end of Deuteronomy.
And by the way, don't get a paper cut. I know I'm asking you to flip through the Bible.
I know. This is a lot of work. I'm working up a sweat here, John, flipping through the pages of Scripture.
Well, if it gets to be too much for you, just say something.
All right, we'll do. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.
Now, there it is again. Do not fear. Yeah. You can find the same words spoken to Joshua, to Gideon. Elijah, of course, speaks those same words to the widow in that time of starvation there. When you go to the prophets, and the prophets are just full of that phrase. In fact, I counted at least 14 times that Isaiah says, fear not. But if you'll share just one of those, Isaiah 35, verse 4, I believe it is.
All right. And thanks, John, for giving me the little cheat sheet here at the Bible verses. So I don't have to work up a sweat.
Come on, Matt. Come on. We were playing along there.
Maybe I know. I'm trying to be transparent with our listeners.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. All right. Isaiah 35:4. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, the recompense of God. He will come and save you.
And we could read similar passages from Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Job, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah. And of course, you go into the New Testament, and we're still hearing that phrase in the New Testament. I bet you can think of a couple times right away at the beginning of the whole story of Jesus.
The birth, up to Jesus' birth. Yeah, definitely. And You know, just a quick comment, John. You know, looking at these examples so far, you know, the reason they need not fear, I think, is interesting. It's always because of God's action, right?
Yeah.
Because of what the Lord is doing or what the Lord has promised. And it's, you know, Moses isn't like, well, don't be afraid because, you know, you've got some really great leaders like me and Joshua here who are going to take care of you. You know, it's not that at all, but it's this constant pointing to the Lord, the promises, his strength, his action. That's the reason to fear not. And anyway, yeah, that's just an observation from some of those key Old Testament passages.
And so let's just take a couple look at the ones from the New Testament. Yeah. As you already alluded, right there, Joseph is afraid when he finds out that Mary is pregnant, and the Lord says, do not be afraid. The shepherds, of course, are scared when they see all the angels, and the angels, again, simple phrase, fear not. Jesus speaks it to the ruler whose daughter died. The passage on Palm Sunday from Zechariah says to Israel in its entirety to fear not. But let's read the passage that actually got us started on this, which was Luke 12:7. This is the one that you brought up a week ago. Would you read that again for us, Luke 12:7?
Yeah, Jesus says, fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows.
And just a few verses later than that, he repeats that in Luke 12:32, if you wouldn't mind reading that.
Oh, yeah, beautiful verse. Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
And I think it's interesting that the Bible ends with that same phrase from the last book of the Bible, Revelation 1:17. If we could read that, and then we're done with our passages for the moment.
Yeah, sure enough. Yeah. Revelation 1. Well, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, John says. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last.
So from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, the same phrase comes up over and over again. And I would bet if I'd done a little more work, there's probably similar phrases. Maybe it doesn't exactly say fear not, but there would be similar exhortations. What are we to make of that, Matt? The fact that the Bible from beginning to end is constantly saying fear not.
So I think first, well, from beginning to end, people are fearing. So yeah. People are being fearful. The Lord knows their heart. They are afraid. They are uncertain. And as we look at this list, it's for a whole variety of reasons, right? It's because they're going into a new land, you know, with Moses. It's because they're anxious in Isaiah and in Luke. It's because of, you know, an unexpected pregnancy in, you know, in the case of Mary and Joseph, for a whole host of reasons. People are fearful. People are afraid. And that's part of our human experience, our fallen human experience is, yeah, part of our reality as imperfect creatures is, yeah, we're going to be fearful. We're going to be afraid. And we see that, again, from Genesis to Revelation.
So to me, I find that tremendously comforting, so that when I wrestle with fear, it's not like that I'm the odd man out, like that there's something wrong with me, that maybe my faith is not strong enough, although admittedly I am of little faith. I wouldn't deny that. But yeah, it is just, as you said, why wouldn't we be afraid, Matt? We're sinful people under the judgment of God, and we live in a sinful world, and the Bible tells us the world hates us. So yeah, I just could have all kinds of reasons to fear. What I found interesting, though, because as we explored this, it's interesting, there's a lot of commands given in the Bible, right? And so what I was hoping, because we're always trying to get the Bible to say what we want it to say, I was hoping that there would be something clearly distinctive, say, from the Ten Commandments, right? Because there's a lot of commandments there, right? Thou shalt not worship false gods. You know, thou shalt not make for thyself an idol. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. And I was hoping there might be something in the language that would be different than this commandment, fear not. And unfortunately, in the Hebrew, there isn't, at least. The low there, that's the word the Hebrew uses for the not. And that's the same, whether it's the Ten Commandments or it's whether Isaiah is saying, fear not. However, in the Greek, that there is a difference. There is a difference. In the Ten Commandments, in the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, It uses the Greek word ou. Okay. I know it sounds strange in English, but that's how they say not yes. in the Greek. That word not is talking about a fact. It's talking about something that's actually there. Here's how it is. Don't do this. Don't kill. Don't steal. But when it comes to this commandment, fear not, it uses another Greek word, which is the word may. Again, it's confusing because that's not what English means when we say may, but in the Greek, may is again, it's a negative, it's a negating word. And while my grammar expert, which is my dear pastor, Pastor Bittner, who is the expert in all languages, he might say, well, it's just how the Greeks use their negatives. You know, they use them with certain words and what have you. But I do think there's something interesting in the fact that when God says, thou shalt not kill, he uses a different negative than when he says, thou shalt not fear. I think my wife capsulized it really well. I wish she could be here so she could say this in her mother's voice, right? It's something she's been doing for most of her life. Well, I know you're sniggling there. I heard you sniggle. Yeah. I heard you sniggle. But here's my point. She says it probably should be translated, don't be afraid. Can you hear that in that tone of voice?
Yeah, it'd be better if Lynn did it, but yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because your kids come running to you in the middle of the night because of the storm and the lightning and the thunder, and you could say to them, go back to your bedroom. There's no need to be afraid, you know. Or you could say, come on in here and put your arm around them and cover them up and say, as I just tried to do my best motherly voice, yeah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And you know, that's what Jesus said. He said, I would gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. And I just think, do you agree with me? I think there's that sin. See, because I hear the word fear not, and right away in my flesh, I'm thinking, oh God, I am so afraid. I guess you're going to punish me. I think, no, that's not the tone at all that Jesus is speaking to us. He knows we're afraid. We have good reason to be afraid. But as you pointed out, no, in him, we don't need to be afraid.
Yeah, definitely. And especially, you know, the verses that started this discussion, I think, you know, we really hear that. Again, you know, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, you know, Jesus is trying, that's a word of gospel, right? Jesus is trying to bring comfort to those who are anxious, to those who are worried, to those who are fearful, and he reassures them. I mean, this isn't so much a command, it's a promise, right? And I think, yes, I agree, John, that it's not so much this imperative, this command, this, you know, like the do not murder type thing, but it's more of this. It's an instruction, an imperative of sorts, but connected to a promise. It seems like in all these examples, right, that, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You're his flock. The Lord is going to be with you time and time again. This fear not is connected to God's action. Not what we do, but what he has done. That's the reason we fear not.
And it's interesting, Matt, that you use the word promise, because that's the other thing I noted as I studied these passages. It's never that he just says, fear not. It's always that he attaches it to a promise.
Yeah.
So if we could illustrate that with just a couple of passages, let's go back that Genesis 15, when he says, Abram, fear not. And let's read a little more from that. If you could read 15 verse 5.
Yeah. Let's see here. 15 verse. Oh, here we go. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be.
And Moses does the same thing. And when he tells his people to fear not, he also makes a promise. So again, from Exodus 14, 13 again, but the promise that's attached to that.
Yeah, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again.
And let's go back to the Isaiah passage, because shortly after that, fear not, he also makes a really beautiful promise from Isaiah 35, 5 and 6.
Yeah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert.
And then let's go back to those two Christmas ones, because I do think it's interesting that right at the beginning, you know, there's fear. Fear in Joseph, fear in the shepherds. But reconsider again what he said to Joseph, Matthew 1:20-21.
Yeah. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
So here's why you don't need to be afraid, Joseph. What's going on actually is not an act of adultery, like you thought it was. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit, and even better, it's so that a one by the name of Jesus can save his people from their sins. And it's interesting, when the angels are trying to comfort the shepherds in their fear, it's essentially the same promise again, Luke 2:11.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
So what? Any thoughts about that, Matt?
Well, I think just... you know, really, when you think about these examples, especially the promises they're connected to are really promises of salvation, right? You know,
yeah.
Genesis 15, I mean, it's ultimately, it's not just a promise that you know, Abraham's going to have lots of descendants, but, you know, ultimately that the descendant, right, Jesus, is the Messiah, is going to come from him. You know, and then, of course, Isaiah 35 and God... just correcting what sin has done, right? Giving sight to the blind and ears to the deaf. And, you know, certainly Jesus fulfills that. And then in those verses about Jesus' birth, a Savior is Christ the Lord. So, I mean, so many of these fear not passages connected directly to Jesus. You know, he's the reason, that we need not fear.
And I think that's the thing. I'm glad you mentioned that, because ultimately he is the only reason.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, because God never says there won't be any more problems, Joseph.
Yeah.
He doesn't say to Mary, oh, everything will be fine now because this is the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, quite the opposite. You know, Joseph will die, apparently. We don't hear anything about him again. Mary will be there to witness her beloved son brutally murdered on a cross. So it's interesting. So it's not that, well, there won't be any more troubles. There won't be any more. Well, of course there'll be troubles and trials. You're a sinner. You're going to do foolish things that'll cause yourself pain and other people pain. And you live in a world that hates you. So naturally, sure, there will be struggles and trials all the time. But you're right. Because of Jesus, we know how it all works out. And the promise of the scripture is quite clear. It'll all work out together for good.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, all of us, we have different fears, you know, as people in general. But I mean, the one common fear we all have, I would imagine, is death itself, right? This enemy.
Man. Yeah.
But, you know, here's this promise of the Savior that takes away even that fear, right? And that makes all the difference, not just at the time of our death, but how we look at life, too.
Well, and see, that is the thing to be frightened of, that does frighten me at least. The final resolution of all of this, the final deliverance from all the struggles and trials and all the things that I fear, that will ironically only come when I die. Up to that point, yeah, there'll always be something that will trouble me. But again, I always have these words of Jesus. They're being repeated to me day in and day out. Fear not. And I do know how it will ultimately end up. There's all the other problems too. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ. All of those beautiful promises that are included. There was just one more thing I did want to mention as I did this study about fear not. It is interesting that where those words are spoken, there's almost always a response to those words. In fact, I thought it was interesting that after Abraham hears that word, fear not, he makes a sacrifice to God at the first cutting of the covenant. Then the second time God speaks to him, he builds an altar. And after Isaac hears the promise, he builds an altar. Gideon builds an altar. When Moses makes that final fear not at the end of the his ministry to the children of Israel, he immediately then reads to them from the Torah. And if you could read read Isaiah 35 one more time.
Yeah.
The response that happens because of the promise.
Sure. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
And let's do Jeremiah 2, because after he says, fear not, he says something very similar, Jeremiah 31, 7.
For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel.
So I think you know, we have things we're frightened of. God comes again in this beautiful motherly voice, like the hen gathering the chicks. Don't be afraid. And I think that's the cool thing to know. He's not rejecting us because of our fear. He hasn't turned his back on us. In fact, he invites us. And then the response to that, I think, would be to pray and praise and thank the Lord. And of course, I would also point out one more thing. If we go back to the Israelites, when Moses says they're at the Red Sea, what happens immediately after God says to them, fear not? You know what happens there at the Red Sea?
Well, they cross the Red Sea, right?
Yeah. Even though there's water, I'm thinking, I'm not going in there. What if that water collapses on top of us?
Well,
it may be separated now, but what if the wind stops? But yeah, they cross the Red Sea. He says, fear not to Joshua. And Joshua goes into battle. Gideon does the same thing. So that would be my other thought. Instead of sitting around and being afraid of things, ask yourself, what can I do? What can I do? Because surely there's something I can do that will be helpful to the people around me, that will show them that I love them and show them that God loves me. And so, and you know what? That may not get rid of the fear, but it'll still be better. It'll still be better than just sitting around being worried.
I love that, John.
Do whatever good thing you can think of to do.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of sitting around and worrying, set free from fear through Christ, now we can serve our neighbor. We're set free to do that without fear, with joy, with praise even. Yeah, I love that idea.
So thank you, Matt, for giving me the opportunity. I've got a lot of things, I guess, between the cancer and got some family issues going on, and I'm getting old. And you're right. When you get to be 72, you start thinking about the fact that if I get another decade, I'll probably be doing pretty good. So there are all those fears, but it was nice to go through the Bible and see all of these different passages. And I guess that's the key thing I want to share with our listeners. This wasn't just a radio show for me, and I hope it's not just a radio show for them today, that this is Jesus Christ coming to them in all of their fears and saying that very simple thing he said from the very beginning, and that is, fear not. So thank you all for listening. This has been yet another episode of Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.